I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about John chapter 10. We're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "The thief or the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come." Jesus says, "He has come that we would have life and we would have it abundantly." We would have this abundant life that he came to bring us. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1, and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves before our time of communion for today. And then lately, something we've been doing is pairing this with some workout advice. I do believe we got a daily communion workout that goes with this. Exercise, physical exercise, is one of the greatest ways, I believe, to practice connecting with God and just feeling his grace flow through you, where you feel him working through you in the workout as you connect with him. So we're talking about a few tips for the exercise on that at the end here today. But why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, "As often as you do this, remember me." It helps us to abide in him, to remain in him, to remain in his love, so that our lives produce fruit. It's this opportunity to take these spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus and stir them into our mind, into our imagination, into our memory, into our soul, and then pair it with something practical and physical in the cracker and the juice, something physical and practical that we do. And it unites our entire spirit and soul and body. And it brings the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment today, making it active and relevant in our lives right now today. And it can serve as this marker in time, where this point in time where we receive promises from God. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which is a big deal because in the case of a will or an inheritance, you have to prove the death. So every time we prove the death, we're activating the benefits. We're proclaiming the benefits of this new covenant, receiving these promises from God every time we take communion. But it needs to be done the right way. It needs to be done with the fear of the Lord, that awe and reverence and honor, respect, and just joy and delight every time that we take it. And like I said, we're going to be pairing this with practical workouts that we do to practice experiencing God's grace, him doing the work through us. Working out is one of the greatest times to connect with God and practice applying our faith, practice exercising our faith in the workout. And once we understand how to do it there, we can apply it into any other area of life. So let's get started with the prayer here. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and to be a blessing. and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. And keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer, talking about making today a masterpiece with these four fundamentals. Making today a masterpiece with these four fundamentals. But remember, you got to bring the presence and the energy and the fun and the excitement into these four things every day. Number one, getting positioned in the light, then magnifying that light, making it bigger and greater on the inside of you. Staying tuned in today for God's leading and direction, and then taking action, doing those things that you know to do, and doing them together in partnership with God. So our first one, we're going to get positioned in the light today. It's a new day. You got to keep repositioning yourself back into the light every day. This is the on-off switch. Either you're in the light or you're in darkness. To be in the light is to be in humility, to humble ourselves and receive that forgiveness from God, to forgive ourselves in the middle, give yourself that same grace God has given you, and to walk in that same level of forgiveness with other people. To be in the light is to be in love. Love and light are one and the same. To be in love is externally focused, focused on how can I do good? How can I be a blessing? Rather than looking inward at ourselves, trying to take care of ourselves all the time. It's to be positioned in gratitude and praise versus bitterness, resentment, complaining, venting frustrations, all of these things. And when you take your position in the light, you've got access to everything God has. Everything he has, he's put it in Christ, and we can access this grace by faith. You've got access to his spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, his mind and wisdom. You get access to his health and energy, his time, his finances. And as God was reminding me this morning, when you step into the light, you got his family. You're part of his family. You've got his purpose. You become part of his community and so much more. So then we're going to magnify that light. First, we got to get positioned in it. Then we're going to magnify it to make it bigger or greater. And as we magnify that light, it expands the capacity, giving God a bigger area to work through us and flow through us in our lives. It also gets it rooted and established in our hearts so that we become more fixed and consistent and immovable. And how we magnify, it's all about what you're focused on, what you're thinking about, what you're meditating on, what you're rolling over in your mind consistently. To magnify is to consistently practice through repetition, meditation, repetition. This is the path to greatness in God's kingdom, the path to expanding it. What are we going to magnify? We're going to magnify that light by magnifying God's word, giving it a higher place and priority, thinking about it and talking about it, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. Our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God because of what Jesus did. God eagerly desires to help us today. To magnify every good thing he put within us. Whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy. All the things that are going well. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to bring them into the light. And just simply trust that God's bigger than those problems, to magnify him as bigger than the problems that you're facing. But he does give us a choice. He gives us free will. We could choose not to do any of this. We can magnify and just stay on darkness, magnify darkness, stay positioned in darkness, be full of pride and rebellion, insisting and doing things our own way, to be bitter and unforgiving, treating people with disrespect and contempt, magnifying the issues and the problems, venting and complaining, dwelling on the past, not letting go of the past, just staying stuck worrying about the future so much that it paralyzes us today. And I think just in general, just living life on our own without God, trying to do it all on our own without God. That's where we got to recognize those symptoms. When we're in darkness, you may snap at people, You might retaliate at people. You might withdraw your presence. You might give them the silent treatment. You might try to avoid them. Then there's the heaviness and the pressure, like all the weight is on you. You might feel hopeless, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Your energy levels begin to diminish. And then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and anxiety, the dread of the future, confusion about what to do or which direction to take. You get stuck in these vicious cycles, these bad patterns that just seem to keep repeating over and over and over again. But when you take your position in the light and you begin to magnify that light, there's this rest in your soul. This rest in your soul. And when you rest, God can finally go to work. And now all of a sudden, it's that His peace, it's His joy, it's His power, it's His health, it's His energy, His mind all begin to flow through you. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your energy levels rise up because you got God's energy flowing through you. You get these aha moments and He begins to set you free, breaking you free of those bad habits, bad patterns, those vicious cycles, the things that it seemed like you would be stuck in forever. He just effortlessly breaks you free, sets you free to the next level. And if all this wasn't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, only takes just a couple seconds to turn it right back around, to get back position in the light again. How do you do it? You just receive that grace from Him. You humble yourself. Father, forgive me for whatever it was that caused us to get out of position. You receive that forgiveness from Him. You forgive yourself. If you need to reconcile with anybody else, you take those steps. And then you just start praising Him and thanking Him that He's with you, that He's more than enough. And all of a sudden, you experience that peace and that joy and that love. It all just begins to flow suddenly again. Doesn't mean everything has changed in your environment, but you'll feel that shift happen on the inside pretty quickly. Then we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to lead us and guide us and train us, but we got to stay tuned in for His leading. The way I like to do this is before bed every night in a journal, start with what I'm grateful for to get positioned in the light. Then start to magnify what went well today. What were my wins for today? And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? What's the most important thing you wanted me to get out of today? And you just get still and you listen. It doesn't take long, just for a few minutes. You get still and you listen and you connect with Him. And whatever comes to mind, you just begin to write it down. And day by day, you just start recording your journey with God. Then as you go throughout your day, you got to stay tuned in to Him. Stay tuned in for His leading and direction. If you ever feel like you get disconnected at all, just slow down and connect with Him. Think of it like powering up your phone, charging up your phone. Just slow down for a minute or two. Plug into Him for a couple minutes. He'll recharge you back up. You ever unsure on what to do, which direction to take? Just ask Him. And then wait until you know, because sometimes we get out ahead of God because we're taking action on things that He hasn't showed us what to do yet. If you'll ask Him, He'll show you every single time. Just wait until you know. Then the last part I like to do in my journal is plan my upcoming day with God. Planning my day for the next day. What do I know to do today? Not the things I'm unsure of, not the things I'm uncertain on. Planning my day with God. God, what's on your plan for tomorrow? Anything on your to-do list, anything in your conscience, anything you've been procrastinating on, anything you have a leading or excitement from God to do. Just write those down on your plan, and then you wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, and you execute that plan together with God. Wake up with a willing heart, a good attitude, and you execute with full confidence in Him. He's right there with you, helping you to execute those things. There might be challenges and obstacles that come at you during the day, but you've got God with you. You just keep magnifying Him as bigger than those problems. And you do this, it does something like magnetize you. His grace begins to flow through you. And His grace, He is the source of beauty. He begins to beautify your life. And beauty is attractive. Beauty is magnetic. It begins to pull more and more of everything that God has for you into your life. And the more consistent we get with this, the more diligent and consistent we get with this, where this is just our continual state day by day, it just builds a stronger and stronger magnet. that begins to pull more and more into your life. So let's take a look at this passage of scripture today. This is John chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to read a few paragraphs of it. We're not going to read the whole paragraph today, but we're going to read a few paragraphs of it. So this is Jesus talking. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, who are the religious leaders, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees, the religious leaders, did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Now, I've heard some people teach on this passage right here where they talk about this is a progression. This is an order of things. First, he comes to steal. Then he comes to kill. Then he comes to destroy. So first, we've got to stop the stealing. And one of the greatest ways to stop the stealing is to give. Don't let anybody steal from you. Give. Avoid getting into strife. It steals your time. It steals the day that God has for you. I think one of the biggest ways he tries to come in and steal from you is getting you into strife with other people. So then Jesus says, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Some versions say abundant life. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So just a beautiful passage of scripture there. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this passage of scripture. We thank you that Jesus is our good shepherd, that we can know his voice. We thank you that he came to give us life and life abundantly, to do good for us. We just thank you for all these amazing promises that you've given us here, Lord. And we're just receiving these today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He's your good shepherd. He's trying to lead us to this spacious, abundant place. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So, Father, we thank you that Jesus laid down his life for us, that he was raised up again. After supper, Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, pour it out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. Come in through that gate. He is the gate. We thank you, Lord, for this cup. Ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take your juice. All right. So today's health workout advice that we have. On the daily workout that we have, you'll see one of the things that's on there in the first section on just general fitness is just one 50-second interval, one 50-second burst of cardio. This could be running, rowing, biking, jump rope, mountain climbers, burpees, jumping jacks, whatever you can do. Whatever you can do. And here's this interesting thing. Why are we only doing 50 seconds of cardio? Don't you need to do 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour of cardio? 50 seconds of cardio, really, in one time? What I found is this. In any cardio, if you get better at a shorter distance, it always has carryover effects into making you better at the longer distance. But the reverse is not true. So as an example, someone says, hey, I really need to be able to run an 8-minute mile. I need to be able to run an 8-minute mile. So a mile on the track is 4 laps around the track. So the first question becomes, can you run one lap in less than 2 minutes? If you can't run one lap in less than 2 minutes, you have no chance at running an 8-minute mile. If you get faster and you get where you can run a 1-minute quarter mile, then an 8-minute mile pace feels like nothing. If you get better at 50 seconds, it will make everything else that you do. It's going to raise your capacity. It's going to raise your ceiling up. So that everything else you do, you can cruise and you can coast at a higher level. This simple trick, I've seen it improve so many things, especially for endurance athletes. Get faster at 50 seconds. So what do you do if you're a beginner? What can you do safely? Okay, I would not start probably with just running right off the bat. I probably wouldn't start with just burpees right off the bat, those types of things. What can you do easily and safely? Start with that. And then gradually, in those 50 seconds, don't go to complete, utter exhaustion, because it can feel kind of miserable when you do that. This is the sweet spot. We want to go, when you're first starting out, just practice on going 50 seconds and not getting tired. Just any pace will do. Just go nice and slow. But then gradually, over time, gradually build up your capacity to be able to do more work in 50 seconds. Think of that 50 seconds as like a little snapshot of time. It's a picture of the whole, what you can do on a whole if you really had to. And you improve this 50-second window, you'll be amazed at what it can do. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.